The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Greetings, humans. You have entered the Command Zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Commander 2019 preview season, and we are here again. This is an amazing week for us because we are showing you all the deck lists for the Commander 2019 decks on the Command Zone podcast. I'm your host, Jimmy Wong.
How's it? It's Josh Lee Kwai. Yes. You have seen some of the new cards. Mm-hmm. I think all the new cards have been previewed. Well, all except one. Because in addition to revealing the rest of the deck list, all of the reprints that are coming in this Jeskai Flashback Mystic Intellect deck, this deck also includes our preview card.
Very exciting. But of course, before we get into it, we must say that if you are looking to buy Commander 2019, maybe get your hands on our preview card or any of the singles or sealed product, head on over to cardkingdom.com/commandzone. That's our affiliate link. If you just go over there, use that link, buy some product, you are supporting the show directly, and we can't thank you enough for it.
Yeah, you can pre-order all of this stuff right now. And while you're there, you might check out Ultra Pro products or at your LGS anywhere else in the world. You know, Ultra Pro gets to do all of the themed stuff for every set. They have the Commander 2019 playmats. They've got sleeves and deck boxes and all kinds of stuff. So you can have your battlefield really match.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can look cool.
And be cool. It makes you cool. You know who? A bunch of other cool people are over at the final way to support our show. That's patreon.com/commandzone. We love our patrons. They really are the core support group for our content, all of our content. And you know what? We call it one lucky patron every single week on the show, or in this case, four times this week alone, right. Maybe even five. So today's episode is dedicated to
David Ryder. David, you rock.
All right.
Okay, so yeah, let's start with our preview card here. This is the last new card in the deck that hasn't been spoiled yet, and it's a really good one.
It's definitely a Josh Lee Kwai card, I would say that much.
Okay, well then I'll read it.
Yes.
It is Elsha of the Infinite.
Wow.
It is 2BR&W, so 5 mana total for a 3/3 legendary creature, Jinn Monk. Has prowess, which means whenever you cast a non-creature spell, this creature gets +1/+1 until end of turn. It also says you may look at the top card of your library anytime. So you can just look at that and just know what it is.
Cool, cool.
You may cast the top card of your library if it's a non-creature, non-land card, and you may cast it as though it had flash.
Whoa. Hey.
I like that last part a lot.
Yeah. It gives you a Leyline/Vedalken Orrery effect on your non-creature, non-lands, which is, again, in a spell-based Jeskai deck, exactly what you want.
It's a Vedalken Orrery stapled to a Future Sight enchantment stapled to something that only allows you to cast non-creature, non-lands. There's some hoops in there, but you get rewarded.
Yeah, the basic idea of this, though, is if this is on the battlefield, your hand size is +1. It's always increased by one. And
it could be more, too, because one of the things I think that's hard to see about this Future Sight, Experimental Frenzy, that type of card, if you play the top card of your library, and then now you can look at the top card of your library, if it's another card that's a non-creature, non-land, you can play that. So sometimes this can draw you, quote-unquote, 3-4 cards.
Yeah, and play them as well at instant speed. So there's a lot of tricky things going on with the deck. So let's talk about some of the cards that we think are going to work well with Elsha. But in general, I think this card's pretty powerful.
Yeah, I do think this card's... I mean, it's card advantage, right?
Yeah.
And I actually think this is probably the correct card when you open up this box and play it to use as the commander. I think of the... Well, the Morph deck,
yeah.
We said, you should play...
Kadena.
Yeah, who's on the box. The character that's on the box for this deck, the Jeskai deck, is Savine, the Chronoclasm. And Savine sort of rewards you for flashing back spells out of your graveyard, forks them, basically. That's a good effect, but I actually think Elsha... we've played the decks a few times now, and it seems to play better with Elsha at the helm because... It's just raw card advantage,
yeah.
Which is just, you don't have to set it up.
Yeah, and like Kadena has that card advantage stapled to the card as well. Savin, not so much. It requires a bit more setup. With Elsha, you're doing the thing that this deck wants to do, which I think is be very reactive and take its time and figure out what it wants to do so as to not rush into battle, because it's a Jeskai Mystic Intellect deck. We're not brawling here.
Yeah, so before we sort of talk about the rest of the contents of the deck, we thought it'd be fun to just look at Elsha in a vacuum as a card in Commander as a whole and what other cards we might put in an Elsha deck if we were to build one from scratch.
Yep. This first one, well, you were the one that called it out, so you should probably read it.
Okay. So the first one that we're going to talk about is Soothsaying. It's one blue for an enchantment. You can pay 3 and 2 blue, so 3 blue blue, and shuffle your library. So if you look at the top card of your library and you don't like it, you can just shuffle and hopefully get a better new card. But the next ability is really the one you want to look at. You can pay X mana, generic mana, and then look at the top X cards of your library and put them back in any order.
For X?
So you're like, oh, I'm just going to spend 3 mana. I'm going to rearrange the top 3 cards, and I'm going to put, you know, a non-creature, non-land card there. I think what can happen with Elsha, well, 2 things can happen. You look at the top card of your library, it's a land. Can't do anything there, and that's she's not providing any advantage from that card. Mm-hmm. Or you look at the top card of your library, and it's a creature.
Right.
And you can't do anything there. So you're going to want to be able to filter past those and sort of rearrange. Now you can say, oh, well, I want that creature, but I just want to draw it next turn. So I'm going to put something else on top, which I can cast, and then that'll cause me to draw the creature.
Yeah, not to mention, you can, like that, you can always hide the card that you want to keep on top as a surprise to everyone. It's really hard to interact with people's decks in general. That's an effect we never really see in Commander. So being able to be like, you know what, I'm going to keep this Psychrift on top for just a few more turns and not reveal to anyone that it's there, pretty cool.
Another card we should talk about is a sort of classic combo with Future Sight. It's Sensei's Divining Top.
Right.
Probably the best card in an Elsha deck because its interaction can be, first of all, draw your entire deck. Mm-hmm. Because Elsha will allow you to cast the top off the top of your deck, right? Well, the first ability allows you to rearrange the top 3 cards, which is useful just to put the right cards there. But the second ability, you tap, you draw the top card of your library, and then you put the top on top of your deck, which means you can now cast it with Elsha and then do that again, and you could just draw a bunch of cards. Now, that's going to cost you 1 mana each time, right? Mm-hmm. So if you use, we have listed a bunch of cards that reduce the cost of top to 0.
Yeah, so the new Ugin does it. Foundry Inspector, Ethereum Sculptor, a lot of cards in Magic's history wants to make artifacts cost cheaper, and they usually don't come with a text, too, of like, if it costs 0, then it costs 1 instead. In this case, the top comes out for free. You also get infinite prowess triggers, or your deck's full of prowess triggers, for Elsha, and you also get your storm count up to 1 billion. So from that, if you're able to just assemble 2 cards, which is the top and then one of the mana reductions, you get your entire deck, and then you're probably going to be able to just, I don't know, empty the warrants for 1 billion.
If Aetherflux Reservoir is in there somewhere, end of the game or stuff like that. Like, it's pretty easy to win from the point of, like, I drew my entire deck on a turn. Yeah. Infinite prowess triggers I didn't even think of. So you can swing and kill one person that way.
Yeah. Lab Maniac. You know, there's lots of ways that this goes off. But just by itself, that's a very powerful interaction. And Future Sight, obviously, is very hard to cast as well. So having that sort of combo there is a nice, I think, like, backup.
So this is a cool card you found, which I've never even heard of.
Never heard of.
But it's actually awesome in this deck.
Yeah, so it's Penance, 2 and a white for a 3-mana enchantment. It says, put a card from your hand on top of your library, and then this is to activate an ability, which is, the next time a black or red source of your choice would deal damage this turn, prevent that damage. Now, all you need to be able to put a card from your hand back on top of your library is to be able to find a black or red source on the battlefield that you can target with Penance.
Yeah.
They don't need to be in combat. They don't need to be doing damage. Now, that might be upside, but you can also target Elsha with this.
She's red.
And if you're not playing on swing with her, or if you're doing this post-combat, you're going to be able to just instant speed, put a card back on top of your library at any time, which seems really, really handy. You don't want to do this a bunch, obviously, because then you're just losing cards out of your hand.
Well, I mean, if you cast it right away, it's the same as casting out of your hand, but it basically makes Elsha a Vidalcan Orrery for that stuff in that moment.
Gives it flash immediately, which actually is super valuable. I think one of the things you can run into if you build this deck is you've drawn the cards that you don't want to cast out of your hand. You want to cast them at instant speed. So,
and it has a lot of upside, because black and red cards preventing damage from them is worth something, right? Somebody swinging at you with a dragon or something.
Source, or it could be like a lightning bolt-esque effect or a burn effect. You can be like, nah, no thanks, and I'll put a card back on top of my library too.
Yeah, and then I'll just cast that card.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like that interaction. That's pretty cool, and a card I've just never, ever seen on the battlefield before.
Yeah, I don't think it really has... It's like Reconnaissance. It's one of those cards where you're like, why would you ever play this? And then you realize, it combos very well.
Now, of course, you're going to want all the top deck manipulation cards in the deck, right? So anything that's like a brainstorm type of ability, lets you draw cards, put cards back on. Scroll Rack is another really good one. Jason the Mind Sculptor, stuff like that.
Yep. There are lands, Academy Ruins, and Hall of Heliod's Generosity. Oh, yeah. The Hall came out recently, but these allow you to put cards back on top of your library.
From your graveyard.
So you're able to recur them. And this deck is already about getting a ton of value out of the graveyard.
Yeah, I feel like Academy Ruins is a really good one. There's got to be some crazy type of...
Well, let's say someone is...
Well, Mind
somehow,
Slaver.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to talk about it. Hold on. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. If the top somehow gets removed...
Right,
you can then get the can top get back. Yeah, get that combo back going.
And with Hall of Heliod's Generosity now, you could build it around enchantments if you really, really want to.
Like
although
penance.
I think Artifact is probably going to be the way to go with Elsha.
Yeah.
Just seems very powerful.
Yep. Mastery of the Unseen. I like this card a lot. It's a really cheap enchantment, and you can just manifest the top card of your library. So if it does happen to be a land or something that you can't draw/play with Elsha, you can just get rid of it.
Yeah, you can kind of... Yeah, that's a way to sort of cycle past it, as it were. There's a whole bunch of cards in Magic's history that sort of prevent all players from, like, drawing cards and stuff like that. So this is the mean way I think you can go. If you're pulling cards off the top of your library and your commander allows you to do that, one of the ways to take advantage is to stop everybody else and yourself, you know, symmetrical effect, from drawing cards. Because you're like, well, you can't get any more, but I still can because I can play the top card in my library. So
yeah. One is better than zero, right?
Yeah, so this next one is pretty mean, but it's a good card with Elsha as far as power level.
Possessed Portal. It costs 8.
But you could cast, it's an artifact, so you could cast it with Elsha.
Yeah, and you can get up to 8 lands and just hold it all up. I feel like you're never tapping out with this deck anyway.
Until the end step before your turn or if something happens, right?
It's an artifact, though. If a player would draw a card, that player skips that draw instead. So not just their draw step, anytime they would draw a card. So
if
Rhystic
they have a
Studies,
Sphinx, Sphinxes, sorry.
At the beginning of each end step, each player sacrifices a permanent unless they discard a card. That's brutal.
Because if you play cards out of your hand... You also don't have any cards in your hand because you're not replacing them with card draw. And if you hold them, you're going to start discarding them until you have no cards in hand.
Yeah. And Elsha is one of those decks that you're going to have a lot of cards with flashback on them. So discarding them into your graveyard isn't the worst. It's still part of your hand in a way.
You
it's
can
just
still
in your
use
graveyard
them.
Instead.
Yeah.
So if everyone's losing a full card, if they have to discard, you're losing half a card. And you're gaining that other half back by having the top card of your library being able to be played.
There's other stuff like Spirit of the Labyrinth and things like that, which kind of puts a damper on the amount of card draw everybody else can have, but you can still play the top card of your library. So I think there's a lot of ways to use and abuse Elsha that could be very powerful. It's costly at 5 mana. She costs quite a bit. But
you
I
play
do...
the turn after you play with Dalkanori.
Sure.
Now everything has
you
flash.
You don't need both, but yeah. But I like that card. I think it's powerful. I don't think it's like a top-tier commander or anything.
No, I think it's a lot of fun. It's definitely one of those decks where if you want to go a Storm Root or something, you can definitely get there. And Elsha having prowess, I think, is really important, too.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the rest of the Jeskai flashback deck. So now that you know all the new cards, there were 17 new cards in the deck, including Elsha. That's 89 reprints, but 21 of them are basic lands, so we're left with 68 reprints in the deck.
A lot of good cards, though. And on the box, we have, of course, the big singer himself, Savin, the Chronoclasm. We talked about him earlier. Yeah. He basically can help you copy cards out of your deck. And we're going to... This is, again, one of those decks
out of your graveyard.
Yeah, I have a graveyard, sorry. It's a deck that's very, very much themed around being able to recur stuff out of your graveyard and to get extra value out of spells. So it is...
Yeah, specifically recur non-creatures out of your graveyard, right? It's not like a Marin that's specifically recurring creatures. Yeah, again, I think Elsha is who you should run as the commander out of the box.
I agree.
Okay, now it's time for...
Stats.
We've seen all these decks from a stats perspective be very well designed, and I think this one is right up there. There's 10 ramp cards in the deck. One of them is on a land. There are 8 to 9 card draw spells. Depends on how you count, like, looting and cantrips.
Yeah.
But somewhere in the right range, right? We want around 10. It's very close. There are 4 board wipes. There are 5 single target removal spells, which is... Ooh. Interesting, because we've seen a lot higher in the other deck.
Yeah, I would say that this deck is doing so much with its own board that it probably doesn't care as much about other people's boards, and it's going to create something that's unassailable or like very like you know reactive. So you may not need that single target removal if like a counterspell-esque effect can be that removal for you instead.
Yeah, I prefer the Morph deck with just a slightly higher amount. Well, it'll remain to be seen whether the other two decks have a lot or not.
Oh, not to mention some of the single target removal can be cast twice.
Oh, that's actually a really good point. Maybe that's why there's a little less, because they're like, well, if you get this card, you can cast it twice. Oh,
we'll
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, and you already have card advantage off the top of your deck. Who knows?
Okay.
Speaking of cards that flashback or can be cast from the graveyard, not all of them have flashback. 22! So that's, again, right up in that range of where you want to be for the synergy of the deck. And of course, it's a Spells Matters deck, so there are 14 cards that care about the way you cast spells, if you're casting spells, and if you're going to get any extra bonus or effect from them.
So I like the stats. The stacks look good as far as how they line up. Now we're going to run down some of the highlights of the reprints in the deck. As with the Morph deck, and moving forward with the other decks, we're going to do the same thing. We can't go through every card. We're just going to run down the highlights. However, if you look in the more info box below this video, you will see a link that will have the entirety of the deck list, so you can check it out if you want to.
Yes, please do. Let us know what you think of the deck.
Okay, so the first card that we're going to talk about, this was previewed by Crypta de Mana, which is a Brazilian YouTube channel.
Oh, that's awesome.
And this is a
my first mana crypt, by the way, is called Crypta de Mana.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's cheaper.
You have a Portuguese version?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's so funny.
So this card, I think, was in need of reprint. It's a very good card.
From cons, yeah.
Yeah, and it's somewhere in the $7, $8 range at the time. Obviously, these numbers are going to fluctuate once everybody knows about the reprints. But
it's one of my favorite clones.
Yep, it's Clever Impersonator, 2 blue-blue for a shapeshifter creature. You may have it enter the battlefield as a copy of any non-land permanent
on the battlefield.
Yep.
Enchantments.
Yeah, it's very powerful to be able to clone non-creature things.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this was getting up there in price. So it's a really good reprint.
Yeah, I'm glad people realize that this is a card that we all like. And clones, I think, one of my favorite kinds of cards on the show. And Clever Impersonator covers a big landscape of that. All right, this next guy was previewed by our good friend Tappy Toe Claws. It's Rao Zarek. The 2 blue-red planeswalker with 4 loyalty that can +1 to tap a permanent and then untap another target permanent. So great if you have mana rocks and you want to lock down something a little bit. His -2 deals 3 damage to any target, but the -7, which I've seen happen actually probably more than any other planeswalker ultimate in Magic, now that I think about it.
I've personally ultimated at least a few times.
Yeah, you get to flip 5 coins and you take an extra turn after this for each coin that comes up heads. So
you get somewhere around 2.5 extra turns, which is usually game winning.
Yeah, that's quite a lot. That's expropriate levels of ridiculous.
We've seen 2 decks now. There's 2 planeswalkers. Mm-hmm. It's very possible that all of the decks have a planeswalker based on that thing, maybe. Which is very exciting.
Yeah. I like this idea. There's so many planeswalkers now. Of course they're going to match into a lot of these decks.
And these are decent value ones. This is, around a $7 card. So yep. I like that. Another card in the deck is a white staple. One of the most played white cards. It's Sun Titan.
Heavy hitter.
4 white-white for a 6/6 giant with vigilance. But when Sun Titan enters the battlefield or attacks, you may return a target permanent card with converted mana cost 3 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield.
Pretty neat.
Super powerful, being able to recur stuff like that.
Fetch lands.
It's really just really good with lands because it's a way for white to ramp.
Yeah, at 6 mana, unfortunately. But still a way for white to ramp.
It's repeatable, too, because if you can attack, then you can do it again.
Well, as soon as it enters the battlefield, that's why the Titans are so good, is that they come in and do something as well as when they attack. Sun Titan is a bit of a nombo with the deck because you have so many spells that cannot be targeted by it. But in terms of just a good reprint, this is a card that if you don't have a copy or even if you have one, having an extra never will hurt.
I mean, most decks with white do want a Sun Titan or at least won't be embarrassed to have it in the deck.
Yeah, no one's going to look at you weird when you play Sun Titan.
Everyone's going to be like, yep, that's a card.
That's a card. any of the Titans. Next up, this is sort of one of the big, I would say, win conditions of the deck. It's Stormherd, 8 white-white for a sorcery. You create X, 1/1 white Pegasus creature tokens with flying, where X is your life total.
Mm-hmm.
Oof. Imagine flashing that off the top of your deck.
That is speed. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, right? Like 10
oh,
mana.
Oh, yeah. And then you just swing with it on the next turn because they didn't see it coming.
And they all have flying.
Oh, you're definitely going to hit them with it. I make 40 flyers.
Yeah. Hopefully you're at 40 life. Even if you make 20, it should be good enough.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. The next is a group of cards, and we did see these in the Morph deck. So my assertion here is it's possible that all 4 of the decks have these 4 cards, which I think is sweet. It's a suite of lands, Ash Barrens, Exotic Orchard, and Myriad Landscape. They're all in this deck. And then Sol Ring as well, which is always in the decks. But I think like
Sol Ring, Command Tower, they always put them in there.
Yeah, that's true. Command Tower, I'm going to assume, is in all the decks too. But these 3 lands specifically are lands that I put in most of my decks.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like seeing, when we saw them in the Morph deck, well, we don't know. But now that we've seen all 3 of them in both decks, I think there's a decent chance they're in all of them, which is pretty cool.
I love Myriad Landscape. It's a way for every single deck to have access to some kind of ramp. It's not the most efficient card in the world, but it still does the job. And Ash Barrens, this came out in the 4-color decks originally to help you basic land cycle to get the colors you need. But just very good in general, just for one to basic land cycle it. And if you're a deck that uses colorless mana.
Or if you already have your colors, now I can just play it as my land and not bother with it. Yeah, really, really good. This next card was one of our most winning cards when we did our stats episodes.
Really?
It's Burnished Heart. three mana for an artifact.
That makes sense.
2/2 elk. You can pay three, sacrifice it, and then search your library for up to two basic land cards, put them on the battlefield tapped, and then shuffle your library. It's like an expensive explosive vegetation, but it's on a creature, can be recurred, could come back with Sun Titan, for instance.
Right.
And the fact that you can get two extra lands into play in Jeskai colors, for example, non-green colors, it just turns out very, very powerful. Just getting extra lands on the battlefield is something that is more likely to determine the outcome of a game than almost any other play you can make.
Yeah.
We usually find whoever's got the most lands at the end, they're the most likely to win.
Yep, they can do the most stuff. Burnish Heart, I put in every mono red deck I can build.
This next one, when we played the decks, this card takes over the entire table.
Freaking MVP over here.
Yeah.
Because of their precons, they don't have a lot of very specific removal, because something like Xatalpa, Primal Dawn, is going to need a little extra help to get rid of it. 6 white-white for a 4/8 Elder Dinosaur with Flying, Double Strike, Vigilance, Trample, Indestructible.
It's that just really everything. That Trample and Indestructible that makes it, like, ridiculous.
Yeah, with the Double Strike Vigilance, to, like, it just basically is just, like, this is a god creature. It's just going to whomp you.
There's not a ton of Exile-type effects. There are a few. There's not a ton of, like, negative X type effects.
Right.
There are a few. So within the environment of the precons, we found that when Xatalpa came out, it was just a lightning rod card where everyone wanted to steal it, copy it. They were scared of you having it because they just couldn't, you know, there wasn't a lot of ways around it. They couldn't attack you when you had it. It's a very powerful card.
It's so hard to block, and it's so hard to attack into, as well as a 4/8 that's indestructible. I mean, jeez.
Any way to pump it in any way or whatever just makes it into a very scary card. The shapeshifter card from the Morph deck, that it stays as a 7/5, but it becomes the thing. That is now a 7/5 double strike flying indestructible. Yeah, so it hits for 14.
Ugh.
Yeah, that stuff is brutal.
Pretty good.
The next card is a Craig Blanchett special and very good in this deck. It's Talran Sky Summoner, 2 blue-blue, 2/2 legendary merfolk wizard. But whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, create a 2/2 blue drake creature with flying. So anytime you cast an instant or sorcery, you get a 2/2 flyer.
Yeah, pretty good. Spells matter. There's going to be a ton of spells in this deck, and if you're casting any of them, you're getting extra value. And that's sort of how this deck needs to stay alive as well, is find some way to interact with the rest of the board, because usually it's sort of like one of those, like, I'm just going to keep looking at the top card of my library, and I don't care what everyone else is doing yet.
I mean, and it works with all your flashback stuff, so those create 2/2s, which gives you extra value.
Yep. And finally, a card that I somehow forgot the name of after I saw it played all weekend at the Mythic Invitational.
Yeah, it's very good.
Faithless Looting. I believe this is newish art, too. It's for one red, it's a sorcery. You draw two cards, then discard two cards, and you can flash it back for two in a red to do the same. So actually, this is quote-unquote card disadvantage, because you're drawing two, discarding two, and using a card to draw those cards. But in a deck like this, where there's tons of flashback or Graveyard Matters cards, it's very, very good. Fuels you up, gets you going.
Yeah, and can work really well with Savine or things like Talrand and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, we're going to stop there. We're not going to name any more cards, but we did want to say that just the reprints in the deck, again, there are 68 cards being reprinted. We added up the value. This is before anybody else knows about them. Around $77. That's not counting the new cards.
Pretty darn good. Yeah, and we know those new cards are potentially going to be valuable as well. I could see Elsha getting up there. I mean, Jeskai is one of those really popular colors for people that like to brew, and so I think that always increases interest as well.
Yeah, I think the value is definitely, so far from what we've seen, a lot better than last year. Hopefully people are not quite as upset about it.
Yeah.
Because the reprint value is higher, and then, you know, you just throw in the new cards as gravy. It's pretty good.
It is pretty gravy.
Okay, let's talk about this deck and how it plays. We both had a chance to play it a couple times.
Well, I will say that for having as much interaction as it does, and we played it and we've seen it played, it does not move very quickly, at least not in the beginning.
Yeah, I think that's the big takeaway everybody felt when they played this deck, which is, it takes a little bit to get started.
And you don't have that much access to ramp as well. You know, you've got card draw and a few other things, but that doesn't help when the other precons around the table are doing nutty things and getting tons of advantage much earlier than your 5-drop commanders.
Yeah, it can very much feel like you're on turn 6 or 7 and everybody else just has more stuff out than you do. And you have some value engines and things that you're setting up, but they don't actually impact the board. And so you can feel like you're in a scary position, you know, earlier in the game because you just haven't impacted what's going on as much.
Yeah, you might need to use your cards to do, have more political favors done instead of being able to just do your own thing, because this is a deck that plays with its own board quite a lot. You're looking at your own library, you're trying to look at your graveyard, you're always trying to think of what you're going to do, and so I think the sequencing is pretty complicated as well, yeah. Especially if you're using Alsha as your main commander.
A lot of choices, because it's like, well, do I Faithless Looting, find out what happens, then I could Faithless Looting again.
Right.
Do I flash back a spell I already cast, or do I cast a new spell? Do I get Alsha out? And then wait till next turn and hope I get something good off the top of my library. Yeah. There's a lot of decision points. I like that.
It's also not a clear like win condition.
Yeah, I think that's kind of one of the bigger issues. It has a little bit of trouble, it seems like, closing out the game. Mm-hmm. Not that it can't, because it can sort of... We saw in some games that we played where the value engine got set up and it got real explosive to where it could finish, but there's not a clear way to finish. You kind of outvalue your opponents, grind them out.
Yeah, but you do get to have some of those explosive turns with Alsha where you just do something crazy off the top of your library, and then you have a whole untap step and turn to either protect it or just keep building on it. So
yeah, a lot of it is predicated on like what you get on top of your deck, because this deck is not built in with a lot of the things we talked about as far as being able to manipulate the top of your library. So yeah. When you play it as a precon, you're at the mercy of RNG.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is cool, but at the same time, like, it's hard to say the deck always plays one way, because it just really depends. Did you get, like, if you get a land every time out there,
yeah,
it's going to play totally different.
You will get a lot of value off of playing it, though. Yeah. And it'll feel good at times, just not, I would say, in the first, like, 5-6 turns.
I mean, there are some cool things once you can kind of get, like, Burning Vengeance and some other things going where you can...
The Gutter Snipes.
Feel very clever, and you can take out the whole table sometimes. So it definitely has that capability.
Yep. All right.
All right, so make sure you check back with us tomorrow, because we're going to be unveiling the deck list for all of the rest of the Commander 2019 pre-cons one day at a time. So this is Tuesday, so we'll still have Wednesday and Thursday.
Yeah, two more decks, so many more cards, so many more cool reprints. We'll be talking about all of them, as well as just going over what the deck's all about and hopefully getting you excited about, because I will say, we played these decks, they're great.
They're super fun.
Super, super fun. Yeah. Can't wait to tell you guys about it.
All right, our editors are Ashlyn Rose and Jake Boss. Special thanks to Jeffrey Palmer for the leaving card animations that start and end our show and are behind us.
Thanks, Jeffrey. Oh, man, it's raining today.
It's raining.
I would like that. It's currently like 90 degrees in LA.
I'm from Oregon and I'm sick of rain from having grown up there. But at the same time, I would take it today. It's like 97 out.
Yeah, I'll take it. All right. We'll see you all tomorrow and Thursday for the rest of the Commander 2019 Deck Techs. Thanks for watching, everybody.
Peace.
For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com or ask us on Twitter @JFWong and @JoshLeeKwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that, and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.